We probably have all heard the story of this little girl. Mom and Dad brought home a new brother from the hospital. His 3-year-old sister asked them if she could see the new baby alone. The parents were concerned with what she would do alone with the baby. But they had an intercom in the room, in the baby's room, so they turned it on and let the sister go into the room alone. They heard the 3-year-old move over to the baby's bed, and they heard her say this, "Tell me about God. I have almost forgotten." So today is Trinity Sunday. Today we look at the unity of the three persons of the Trinity, the Creator, the incarnate Son, and the moving, glowing Spirit. There's a lot here to forget. Have we grown up and forgotten God, who God is? Here's John's gospel today. Nicodemus came to see Jesus. The gospel says he came at night, in the dark. Why did he come in the dark? Had the cares and concerns of the world made him forget who God was? But Nicodemus was curious about Jesus, so he came to see Jesus in the dark. That's how many challenges start. We know something is not right, or at least something can be improved, health or knowledge or relationship. We are in the dark. We have forgotten the love of God through Jesus because the world makes us afraid. Nicodemus knew Jesus was special, but he wanted more. I think his heart drew him. "Tell me about yourself," Nicodemus asked. "What is this kingdom of God stuff?" Jesus didn't answer directly. Instead, he challenged him to look at what he knew about God. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee and so a rightly religious person who tried to live life the way he thought God wanted him to. He was supposed to live according to all the laws and the regulations in scriptures, maintain his purity, keep away from those who were not clean and correct. Nicodemus, I'm sure, tried to live all those rules, but he was forgetting something. God wanted him to live from his heart, the center of compassion and love. Jesus said Nicodemus needed to be born from above, from the water and the Spirit. According to John's gospel, the water and the Spirit meant that we need to be born from Jesus, who was raised on the cross. Crucifixion stories report that as Jesus hung on the cross, he was lanced in the side by the centurions, and water and blood flowed out. Thus, water and the Spirit from above. Christ is the incarnation of God. He tells us and shows us what we have forgotten, that God is all-accepting and loving, gracious, and forgiving. Jesus was sent not to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus does not label us as undesirables, no matter what we do. This gospel story reflects how a group of early church Christians were trying to remember who God was by looking at the example of Jesus Christ. How do we describe the character of God? Is our God omnipotent, all-powerful? Why do we say God is Father? When you think of God, does a white-haired, white-bearded sort of Santa Claus appear? Who's laughing? I'll give you $5 later. And where is God? Is he, she, other, close by us, or way off in the distance? What did Jesus say about God? Why do we say God has three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And what does today's gospel say about God? Have you ever looked at the Trinity icon? I'm not going to show it to you because I kind of want you to go look it up. But it, It's a painting from the 13th century, a Russian painting, an icon, a flat painting. But it reflects the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The icon represents a painter's vision of this subject. Three figures in this painting sit facing an altar that has a chalice on it with a sacrifice in the chalice. Behind the figures are a mountain, a tree, and a house. The icon's purpose is to draw the viewer into the painting. It becomes a means of prayer. We have several icons in the small chapel outside the door of the church over here. Take a look when you have time. We don't have the Trinity icon, but you can find it easily online. This beautiful painting can help us to see elements of God. Why does it matter how we vision God? What is his character? Is it even relevant? I mean, after all, God is God. In the book Living the Question, The Wisdom of Progressive Christianity, the authors say, a person or faith's community view of God shapes everything else about it. They go on to quote John Dominic Crotian, who has four questions for today's Christians. The first one being, what is your character of God? What is your content of faith? What's the purpose of your church, the function of your church? And what's the purpose of your worship? I'm sure we're getting tired of seeing Bishop Curry's wedding homily in news feeds, but it sure pegged what characteristic of God was most important to him. God is love, period. Not a God of exclusion, not a God of power, but a God who cares for all people. What was amazing to me were the expression on the guests' faces when they realized what he was saying. So, everybody pick up your Book of Common Prayer. It's sitting actually in front of the pew. It's a red one or a black one, depending. Okay, mostly black. But. Turn to page 358. Now, this is a Nicene Creed. It was written in one of the early church conventions around the year 300 or so. There was quite a fight going on in the church at that time as to what characteristics of God were. So they listed what they thought the characteristics should be. So if you're curious as to what we profess to believe in God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's a good starting point to start looking at. Now, of course, there are a lot of things in here that we Episcopalians have a little trouble with. The first one being, I believe in the Father. Again, if you're thinking of a Santa Claus-like, white, bearded, white male, that turns off more than half the church. What about the female characters of God? What about the people of color? I just throw this out to get us thinking. But this is a good place to start, looking at your Trinity and start questioning what you believe the characters are. Okay, put your books down. We've been praying this creed for about 1,700 years since it was written. Another phrase in there that bothers me, it says, he will come in glory to judge the living and the dead, which contradicts John's gospel today. John's gospel says God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. So there's some issues we need to work out. Perhaps the translations that have come down to us in history for the creed don't mean what we think they do. Perhaps someone who included the judgment phrase in the creed was more of more in need of a characteristic that could control people instead of loving them. Okay, now that we're all confused, what is your vision? What do you need from God? What do you need to remember? Do you need to remember that God loved us enough to share a part of Him as a living Son? Do you need to remember that God loves us enough to continue to share His Spirit with us? A Spirit that challenges us, not controls us. A Spirit that loves all conditions of humankind, and I think our pets also and all of creation. A Spirit that loves us even if we can't sing or pray or love Him back. We need to look, excuse me, we need to look to God as Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in all complexity, and listen to ourselves as we try to describe Him. You may be surprised with what you've forgotten.